And we had a really cool evening yesterday. It was a musical journey that we took. And when we left the Talk Sports Studios here in central London at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was getting dark. And we had two items on the agenda. We were going to go to Abbey Road, and then we were going to go to Royal Albert Hall for a concert that night. And so the idea to go to Abbey Road was to go to the famous crosswalk where the Beatles photo was taken, see the Abbey Road studios where the Beatles recorded most of their works.
Beatles.
And neat. Take it all in. But as we left the Talk Sports studios, we forgot we're in winter, or almost, and we're so far north, the days are pretty short. And so at 4 o'clock, the sun's going down, and I'm asking you guys, do we have enough light to take this crosswalk picture? So we didn't know, so we hurried. We got on the tube, the Jubilee line, that took us a couple of blocks from Abbey Road. It drops you off in North London, in a suburb, and then you walk a couple of blocks to the east, and there you are. And there it is, the crosswalk. And we got there at dusk. Mm-hmm. There was still enough light to take the pictures. There were some other people there taking pictures of themselves on the crosswalk, and we managed to get there in time to snap a few photos.
We weren't able to close the road like the Beatles obviously did.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't follow the proper permits ahead of time.
And it wasn't a bright, sunshiny day like it was for them. But that was really cool to me. I mean, I can't tell you how many hours I've probably stared at that photo and said, yeah, sure enough, Paul is barefoot. I don't know why he is, but, just the whole thing. It was just, it was really cool.
Different than you thought it would be?
Yeah, smaller.
It was smaller, and it wasn't oriented exactly the way I thought it would be.
The crosswalk or the studio?
Both.
Both. That's both. A very narrow road we crossed there.
Very narrow road. Yeah. And the Abbey Road studios look very small from the front. Now, somebody says they're actually big once you go in them, but I think they recorded all of their albums there.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, and also Pink Floyd recorded most of their stuff there. Some other big bands in the 70s and 80s, and of course it's still an active studio today.
Mm-hmm.
So we posted the picture of the Musers in the crosswalk. Gordo put that up on his Twitter feed. I retweeted that. I also put a picture up on Instagram if you want to check out our official Musers crosswalk photo.
And I guess everybody does that goes there.
Yes, you know? And that was a bit of madness that was going on there because there were so many different people waiting to get their picture taken. Going across the crosswalk, and it's still an active street. It's not like it shuts down. I mean, it's a crosswalk without a light, basically.
It does have the crosswalk light, I guess.
Yeah.
Does it?
Someone said the two lollipops is what they call them, the blinking lights that look like lollipops, and they say that is the only place in London where pedestrians have the right of way.
Really?
At those two lollipops. And I've noticed that when you try to cross in a crosswalk, cars are not stopping for you.
No. And did you think it was kind of spare once you got there, thinking the Beatles didn't go too far for this cover photo here? It was just, hey, let's just walk outside the studio and walk across the street.
But you have to admit, I don't know much about photography, but it's a great shot.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah,
it
I
is.
Think it is.
Well, it's great because it's iconic.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not a real complicated shot,
no.
But it's pretty cool.
What a great album that is, the Abbey Road album.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, so when you're looking at the Abbey Road cover, the studios are there right to the left, back over where the 28 IF license-plated car there, that bug.
And it's basically just an old colonial house, I guess. Or maybe it was always it's been a business for a long time, but you're in a residential area that I'm guessing was an old home that they fixed into a studio.
A 9-bedroom Georgian townhouse built in the 1830s.
Wow.
Well, where are the big studios that are two stories high, you know? You see those pictures of them in there. I guess
that's back in, like, the middle of that building. It's a two-story building, so
I've had friends that have recorded there.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And about that? Put that on my bragging montage.
Out front, tons of graffiti on the wall. People writing the name of their favorite band or a message to the Beatles or something like that.
The signs were funny. Please don't write here, there, and everywhere. Use the wall.
And then there is an Abbey Road webcam. And a couple of P1s sent us screen captures of us crossing the crosswalk. They were sitting there watching the webcam waiting for us to cross. So I thought that was really cool. Yeah. I enjoyed the trip to Abbey Road.
I did too.
So then we had to continue our musical journey, a concert that night at storied Royal Albert Hall.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
And we wanted to see a show while we were here this week, and where better to see a show than Royal Albert Hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at the concert schedule for the week, and really the only show of note that we might enjoy was the Monday night show, Paul Rodgers, the former lead singer for Free, for Bad Company, for The Firm. Rolling Stone rated him as the 55th best voice in rock history in the top 100.
Mm. You want to move him up on the list a little bit after hearing him last night.
So we have dinner, and then we go to Royal Albert Hall. And it's really cool when you pull up. It's a big round building right across the street from Hyde Park. Of course, it's dark when we get there. There's a little energy.
Mm-hmm.
Very different looking crowd. You see some young, some old. A lot of guys with long gray hair and concert t-shirts.
Yeah, there were some older hippies there last night. But yeah, I did notice that people who went to that show last night, very few were in t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. No.
Most had nice shirts. We were probably borderline, being in jeans. Most people had on slacks. They were going to Royal Albert Hall, so they wanted to look semi-nice.
I'm glad they let us in. That was nice of them to do that. So what big shows have happened at Royal Albert Hall?
Well, did you guys happen to walk around the concourse?
Yeah.
Because they have photos up of everything that's ever been there, at least recently, in the last 20 or 30 years.
Clapton's played a million shows there.
Yeah, so you saw pictures of Coldplay, Clapton, Jay-Z and Beyonce, Rihanna. There's a picture of Bill Clinton having a lecture there.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, are y'all?
There was a picture from 1989 of the League Cup basketball final, which was held at Royal Albert Hall.
They've played tennis there. They've had all sorts of events there.
So tons of stuff over the years.
So you walked the whole thing?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
So you know how many holes it takes to fill the...
I still couldn't figure it out.
Oh.
That's too much math.
It was opened by Queen Victoria in 1871.
Good
and
Lord.
Basically,
well, they need to redo it. I tell you, in the bathrooms ain't up to code. That's darn sure.
If you're an up-and-coming performer in Great Britain, you want to play the Albert Hall. That's like an iconic place to play.
You know, it's interesting. They were saying that when they first opened it, though, did you notice those big mushrooms hanging from the ceiling? The reason they put those in, because acoustically, when they first opened it, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, it looked like it would have been a nightmare if they didn't put it in those...
And now they've
Royal Fat Albert Hall.
Over the years, they've tweaked it to where I thought the sound last night was wonderful. It
sounded pretty good. What was the old saying before they put those up there?
It's the only place an English composer can hear his work twice at the same time because it echoes so much.
All right, so the opening act was Deborah Bonham.
Yeah.
And we didn't
north of the Metroplex.
We didn't know, number one, that there was an opening act. But number two, we sat down to take in her fine work. And Gordo...
There she is addressing the crowd.
Gordo looks her up, and we realize that she is the sister of John Bonham.
Yeah. I informed you guys of that.
Oh, you informed us.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. George looked it up.
Yeah. Younger sister.
Okay.
What'd you think of her?
I wish that she had been in her apartment, just being John Bonham's sister there.
Man, what a defeat. She seemed like a very sweet woman. She had a great voice.
I thought her voice was spectacular. It was really
sucked.
Kind of husky and bluesy, and she was just up on stage with a keyboard player,
yeah,
and that was it.
He sucked, too.
Now, there was something slightly a Mighty Wind about her.
Like she was dancing way too much for just having a guy on a keyboard. And it was a little bit thin in the music department that he's just playing a keyboard and she's out there trying to twirl like Stevie Nicks.
And she was wearing a big flowing witch dress like Stevie Nicks.
Yes, it was just...
I enjoyed her, though. I wasn't familiar with her music, but I thought her voice was pretty close to captivating.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
I loved her voice.
Yeah.
After five... She does about five songs and then she thanks everybody in the place and all the sound guys and the lighting guys. Thank you for this incredible evening. I almost felt like it was the highlight of her career, the way she was thanking everybody.
And she was thankful that one person had bought her CD.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
No, she did it like three times. She was like, oh, you've heard of it? Oh, my good. Thank you so much.
There's the one person that bought. She was a joke,
She was a joke.
No, I mean, that was a joke.
All right, so then...
I want to mute it before you... Oh, okay.
She takes...
Okay.
Fine. She takes the stage, does her act. Everybody gives her a nice ovation. She leaves.
And polite
now
applause.
We've got about 20 minutes. And then a presenter comes out to introduce Paul Rogers, and he introduces his band first. And every time he would introduce a guy, they'd start playing that instrument. The drummer was first, then the guitar player. Well, I thought we had purchased tickets to a rock show, but as it turns out, Paul Rogers is now into blues. And he's been in Memphis for a while doing a new album, and he brought all of those American musicians from mm-hmm. Memphis over that played on the album, and a lot of them have great credentials. They played for some of the heavyweights in American music history. So they were all up on stage. It was a 9-piece band backing him last night.
Yeah, and he's, I guess, and still in love with the music that influenced him, Booker T and the MGs and all the music that came out of Memphis. And what's going on?
Nothing good.
Mama, yeah, I'll turn it down. He is donating all the proceeds from that album that he did with the Memphis All-Stars back to an academy in Memphis, and it immediately hit number one on the blues charts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it did really well.
See, I didn't know... I guess he just really, really loves the music, because after a couple of songs, applause was lukewarm, and then he said... I really love this music. I hope you do, too. And I didn't know if he was trying to talk himself into it or talk us into it.
I think he noticed then that he had lost the crowd.
There was a lot of people there that wanted to hear Bad Company hits.
Yes, including me.
Yeah, and when he did do a Bad Company song, the place went crazy.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe he would follow it up with a few more Bad Company songs.
Me, too.
He just did what, one old song?
Yeah. Here, I got a little bit of it here. Let's hope this,
right,
this works here.
You're...
I hear it coming out of your phone, but not
the... Yeah,
why is it
on?
Not...
Here.
What's with the roll?
Unplug it and plug it back up.
Yeah. I did.
Come on, unplug that thing.
I did.
All right, now do it again.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you got it in the wrong jack.
I have it in the wrong hole.
Oh, how many times you said that to somebody?
All right, I've got an example of
first
it.
First time.
If you would, if you would
here
like.
With the mama?
Yeah, let me see.
Sorry about
that. Of course, I haven't prepped this.
That George got in the wrong hole.
I haven't prepped
your name?
This. So.
Sue. Nice.
Oh, that's Sue. That's Sue again.
You're sorry?
The June.
Anyway, we did Can't Get Enough of Your Love, and the place went nuts.
Well, let's see. Moving right along. It's not all about love, really. What I love about these songs is there are so many love songs. It's, you know, it's a great message. And this is another song that deals with that beautiful subject. This is called Any Old Way.
This is one of the blues songs,
yeah.
Too. Can you turn down your level just a little bit, and I'll turn it up here? There we go.
Still need a line balancer there. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so that's an example of what he sounded like last
night.
So
it was great to go see Paul Rogers and Albert Hall covering the Blues Brothers. That's basically what we saw.
You know, I like blues music, but I like the slower, real guitar heavy, real bluesy stuff, and this was a little too upbeat for my taste.
Oh man, I loved it.
Did
I love that stuff. Yeah, I loved Booker T and the MGs and
Booger
Booker and the Blues Brothers. I was a huge fan of the Blues Brothers.
I just always think it's a little bit of a beating to watch basically an all-black band of all-star kick-ass musicians fronted by some weak, wan-looking, effeminate white guy.
But he's got a great voice. I mean, he really does.
He doesn't have a soulful voice.
Ooh, okay, I don't know about that.
I kind of agree with him.
He's technically good.
He's got a great rock voice, but there was something a little missing about... When he did some of the classics, it didn't sound as classic as the classics.
Yeah, and I thought even his stage presence, he just wasn't really commanding that stage so well.
Maybe not, but I thought his sound was great. And I thought the Memphis All-Stars were having a blast playing with him, too. I think they thought it was awesome.
That place was built in 1871, and those chairs felt like it.
And by the way, one of the stories, I don't know if you saw that... it got bombed in World War One, and they had a rally after it got bombed. It was a patriotic rally, and they had over 10,000 people show up So obviously they couldn't put them all in there. But that's how much that place meant to him back then. And it also took in a wayward bomb in World War II. And they said that after that, the German pilots used to use that dome as like a marking land point to work off of.
All right, so there were a lot of interesting people at Albert Hall last night. Gordo, you caught up with one of them.
Yeah, you mentioned jockeys earlier in the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know why we were talking about jockeys, but we were.
I interviewed one on the street.
Yeah, well, I also ran into a wannabe jockey. And this was right outside of the Paul Rogers concert on the ticket. Can you not hear that?
What's wrong with our mama bear?
Oh, what is this? Cowboys. You ever heard of them?
Yeah, I've heard of them, yeah. Watch a bit of American sport, but not a great deal. But, yeah, they're one of the better teams as far as I recall.
You know about Regonk?
About?
Regonk?
No, no.
You ever heard of Regonk?
No, no.
All right, what about Regonk?
Nope.
T.C. Fleming?
No.
This is me wasting a guy's time, right?
I only watch a bit of it. I'm not familiar with all the names.
Craig Rosengarten? Skull and Balls, that whole thing?
No. Sorry, I'm not one of your best interviewees, I'm afraid.
No, that's okay. That's okay. It's understandable. Understandable. What's the stereotype that British people have of Americans?
Stereotype? A bit like me, a bit overweight, I suppose. But I think one of the things that people seem to think about Americans is not many of them travel. I think you've got a very low percentage of people who actually hold passports.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, very sort of insular, I suppose, in rightly or wrongly, I suppose. But,
when you think of Texas, what do you think of?
Good music. There's some good guitarists come out of there.
See, I love that he knew that good guitarists come out of Texas. That's awesome.
Well, I suppose one of the major states, really. Is it the biggest one apart from Alaska? I believe it is.
Yes, size-wise?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
Was there anything in your life that you wanted to do that you never got around to?
I don't know if you know much about sports. Obviously, this is not going to come across on radio, but I actually wanted to be a jockey.
A jockey? Like a horse?
Horse race jockey.
You're a little bit big for that, don't you think?
Yeah, I weigh 23 stones, so...
Now, convert that for me. 23 stones.
23 stones. Just over 300 pounds.
Okay, so that would be a boulder.
Yeah, probably. I think some animal charities might have something to say about it.
Yeah, I
was slim once.
What? Well, thank you.
That's how you were.
23 stones, and he wanted to be a jockey. He's over 300 pounds.
Wow.
Boy, tell me that isn't confusing when British people start talking about stones.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're talking about.
23 stones.
23 stones is pushing 400, actually.
Wow. What's that?
23 stones is pushing 400. Because a stone is 17 pounds.
Right. How do you know that?
I know a lot of stupid ass, okay?
But he was out there enjoying Paul Rogers, who's a big Clapton fan, knew Stevie Ray, and Texas guitarist. So there's a guy who knew a little bit about Texas.
I want to know.